hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dinan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's that time on a Tuesday, 7:25, as we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Dinan Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. DH, how are you on this another victory week, going 3-0 so far in this young season?
Feeling good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Feeling good, too, man. We're 3-0.
I can't complain. I'm getting real tired of the excuses that the NFL is giving the Chiefs for winning football games. I'm wondering if that has affected, the league because they just keep winning and they're running out of excuses, I should say. But it looks like there's not going to go anywhere from the excuses this week as the Chargers are, Dana, the Chargers are beat up pretty big in the third week of the season. And they go, it doesn't get any easier. They play the two-time defending champs in a row. Patrick Mahomes and company with a loaded roster that looks pretty good so far in this young season going 3-0.
Yeah, you definitely got to be happy first and foremost with being 3-0. However way you get there, I mean, there are teams out there that are 0-3, 1-2 that wish they could be 3-0, and they don't care whether or not you question the officials or calls or no calls, et cetera. I love the people on Twitter or X or whatever you're calling it that come back and talk about how rigged it is, because you can go tit for tat in regards to calls that were made or not made that should have been made. And, we also got the stat of how the Chiefs have been, the highest penalized team or for the most yardage and top five, et cetera. Like, people forget all that. And the game of football is so fast. I would hate to be an official. I love the fact, to be honest, and whether this makes me a homer or not, I love the fact that we fare on the positive side of those calls that equate to win. So, like, that's the name of the game. Some teams are able to overcome. Some teams are able not to overcome. Some teams, like the Chargers in the past, have been teams that under Staley, they figure out ways to lose games. They had us beat several times, and they figured out ways to lose games, and we are a team and an organization that figure out ways to win. But, yeah, whatever way we can get wins in this league, I'll take them.
You know, Dinan, you mentioned you don't want to be an official because of how fast the game is. And that kind of hit me this weekend. I'm watching the league and you're like, damn, the offenses are good. But now defenses have caught up to the offenses in this league. Everybody has speed. Everybody is fast. Everybody is quick on the field. Linemen are lean. Linemen are thin. Like, this league went and got fast, it seems like, overnight. And offenses, I think, are going to have to rework the way that they attack defenses, because defenses aren't, like, scared anymore about speed because they all have speed.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Thank you.
And I will tell you that when the Chiefs, or what we're seeing from the Chiefs, are a perfect example of offenses making adjustments. Now we're not necessarily clicking on all cylinders right now. We're not playing our best football offensively. Patrick has already said he's critiquing his own play and it's not up to his level. But what you're seeing from offenses, and think about it from this perspective, a lot of the game, even though last night we saw some vertical plays, Terry McLaurin, Jamar Chase, big plays down the field, Jaden Daniels throws, et cetera. A lot of the game is being played horizontally. It's being played sideline to sideline, crossing routes, what we saw from Rashee Rice, what we see normally from Travis Kelce, is a horizontal game. The game that the teams, whether it's the Ravens, the Bengals, or this past weekend with the Falcons, a lot of their plays against us were horizontal plays. How you negate some of that speed, the vertical speed on defense, is that you go from sideline to sideline. You use pick plays. You use crossing routes. We saw the Eagles win against the Saints because they ran a crossing route with Dallas Goedert, and he's able to scamper down the sideline. So you do have that speed, and some of the vertical game that we've become accustomed to seeing is negated by the defensive speed, but that's where the creativity of guys like Matt Nagy and Andy Reid come into play with the horizontal game, and that's working for us.
We talked about it earlier in the show, the you know, kind of like the season so far that Rashee Rice is having. He leads the league in yards after catch, which is a big one for you guys that play the wide receiver position. I want to ask you this because we were talking to our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe, and a lot of people, obviously, the sky is falling for a lot of Travis Kelce people out there. Is there a little bit of a torch passing that, like, it doesn't need to be Kelce first? It's more like it's a Rashee Rice option first in this offense, and then we'll move forward and see what we need to go after next?
Well, I've been saying for just about a year now, and maybe a little bit less than a year because it took him a little while to come along, but I thought he was, outside of Tyreek Hill, he was one of the most, if not the most, dynamic runners after the catch because of how quickly he gets downhill. As soon as he catches the ball, he's not looking to the sideline. He's looking to plant his foot and get downhill, north-south runner, like a running back. And so I'm not surprised that he's the top of the league at yards after catch. To me, that's a huge asset, and that's part of the reason why we can kind of go to him as the number one target, because Travis Kelce, he makes plays, but he also draws a lot of attention. And if I have an opportunity to throw the ball to Rashee Rice and know that a 5-yard gain is going to could turn into a 20-yard gain while trying to fit it into a tight slot to Travis Kelce, I'm going to go to Rashee Rice. And I commend Patrick, especially with his relationship with Travis, with success that he's had with Travis, with still putting the team first, putting the offense first, and recognizing, you know what, my boy Travis is my boy. We're going to go hang out at some concerts. We're going to have some fun. But in this play, on this drive, in this game, he's not the guy that I can go to. There's another player, Rashee Rice, that's making big plays, and I got to do what's best for the offense. And I commend him for that. That's a maturity level that I think Patrick Mahomes continues to climb to, but it's still we just got done with week 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Travis is one of those guys that can turn around and get a 12-target, 14-target game and have 10 catches for over 100 yards, multiple games, and we'll be talking about this like it's ancient history.
Well, and that was kind of my follow-up to you, Dane. And when do the defenses start adjusting to take Rashee Rice out as the number one option and then freeing Travis Kelce up?
Yeah, I don't know if they can. Like I said, because if you line up on the outside of the numbers, the days of the Marvin Harrisons and the wide receivers that just line up on the outside of the numbers and just work on an island by themselves, those days are over. Like, the movement, the shifts, the motions, the mesh plays, the pick plays, et cetera, that's like the new age NFL. So if you're trying to take Rashee Rice away, how do you do that if he's running across the field?
Right.
Not necessarily vertically, but across the field. So that makes it tough. You start bumping coverages, and if he runs this crossing route, a linebacker will pick him up in the middle. Like, okay, do you want your linebacker picking up Rashee Rice in the middle of the field where he can outrun him to the corner? The opposite corner is going to pick him up. Well, what about the deep route that's behind that corner? So it makes it extremely tough to bump coverages. I did see an adjustment by the Atlanta Falcons, specifically Jesse Bates III. We tried to run that same play that we won 2 Super Bowls with when we were down in the red zone, and the safety came down and made the play, or at least covered the receiver running that little arrow route. And that was the first time I saw a team make an adjustment to that. We obviously won 2 Super Bowls on the mm-hmm. same play, so the Eagles and Niners couldn't figure it out. But that might be a recipe for messing up that play for us. But then Andy Reid and Matt Nagy is going to come away with something that will offset that. That'll still make us dominant.
Danan, I think, you know, a lot of Chiefs fans are living in 2018 still, right? Where you're going to score 50 points a game and maybe blow somebody out and have these, you know, fun wins. That's just not the case anymore. And I'm okay with that. I think it's better to win close. I think you learn more as a team when you win close than when you blow somebody out. Blowouts are fun. They're relaxing. But when you win games like the Chiefs have already won these first 3 games, doesn't that build character and make you better as the season goes along?
Absolutely. It makes you feel confident that in any circumstance, in any situation, if you're not playing your best football, if the defense is not playing well, you have confidence that your offense will pick you up. If the offense is not playing well, you have confidence that your defense will pick you up. And that's the true recipe for success for any championship team. Not successful team, not winning team, championship team. And that's what we have to embrace here in the Chiefs kingdom, is that we are a championship team. We have set the bar so high that I do get it that maybe we get a little disgruntled because we're not putting up the points and Patrick's throwing another interception or Travis is not the factor for the offense like we've become accustomed to, but it's all part of the process. And if you look at how this team is built, like, there are teams, and I said this, I don't know if I said it last week, but maybe 2 weeks ago, there are teams that we've seen the absolute best from them already. It's already week three, and they can get no better. They can only get worse. They can just hope that they can continue to play on the level that they're playing right now. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. Like, we're just playing complimentary football where the defense gives up a bunch of yards to Lamar Jackson. The offense takes over. The offense sputters along against the Falcons. The defense takes over. Like, once everything kind of clicks and comes together, I mean, I feel bad for the opponents that will have to deal with that. And I'm okay with that being in week 12, week 14, week 16, as long as it's something that we can carry into the playoffs. Because, again, the bar is Super Bowls. The bar is championships. It's not just being a winning team.
I think it's interesting when you look at the NFL schedule. Again, we're talking to Danny Hughes here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Look, you play the Chargers this week. It's a rivalry game. I know it'll probably be closer than people like, but, I mean, you got to think, Derwin James kind of been the, you know, annoying voice or coverage for Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce looks for a big game to break out of this, you know, this little pre-three-game skid. You look at this possibility with no Justin Herbert. Is this one of those games where maybe you'd like to see the Chiefs win by more than 4 or 5, or does it really matter in your mindset as long as you just get the W?
So anytime we can blow out a divisional opponent, I'm all for. Yeah. But at the same time, I will take a 3, 4, 5-point win and head right back to Kansas City from the West Coast. But here's the thing that I think people, I wouldn't say be concerned about, just be aware of. Preparing for people that have not played a lot of football is probably one of the more difficult things that coordinators and coaching staff have to deal with. And if whether it's Easton Stick or it's your backup safety or offensive lineman that you haven't seen a lot of film on, having film on good players almost gives coaches a little bit more peace than having no film on players that you haven't really seen yet. So with Joe Alt, obviously a teammate of mine, his son, and John Alt, would have loved to see him out there, but the fact remains is injury is a part of the game. But, like, let's not mistake the idea that just because they got 3, 4, 5 starters that are going to be out of the game because of injuries, that this is going to make it a walk in the park. Like, there's such parity. We talk about parity between teams. There's parity between the depth chart on every team. Like, the next player up is not that much worse than the player that's ahead of them. Like, there's a lot of commonalities there. So I don't want anybody to get on this mindset that this is going to be a blowout. They're going to come out fighting. Jim Harbaugh is going to have them prepared. They're going to be on their home field. They obviously don't want to have another loss this early in the season. They're going to have some fight in them, but we're the better football team.
Danan, which is more difficult? Because you played baseball, okay? So hitting an unknown pitcher or prepping for an unknown player in football? And Brad, I'll have a follow-up.
Definitely baseball. It okay. is tougher. The hitting a baseball, even Deion Sanders has said it, the difficult thing in sports, I know there's some golfers out there that would say different, but hitting Praise a baseball me. No matter whose it's coming from, is definitely the most difficult thing in sports.
So it's harder to hit against an unknown pitcher than it is to play against an unknown player in football.
Yes.
Okay. And then finally, can you bat fifth for the Royals? Do you have any hits left in that bat? They need a number 5 hitter. Are you available?
So I can probably swing it a little bit, but getting from home to first is going to be difficult.
Fair enough.
All right, Daniel, we'll have a good call on Sunday. We'll listen to you on the Chiefs pregame and during the game as well. Hopefully you come back from L.A. We have 4-0 color commentator.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, brother. Take care, Daniel.